Check, 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 check. Oh, yeah.
Yes, and welcome to today's show of Fiction Reports, where we lay out the facts and the characters decide. Let's jump right into today's program with the News Minute. Today we have with us a Mr. Barney Fife from The Andy Griffith Show. Barney, sir, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking me. How are you doing today? This is a fine program.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing just fine. Thank you for asking. And how was the flight over here from... Where are you from again?
Mayberry. Well, there really wasn't much an airport very close by, so I just took the old Buick down. It would have been I-35, and then over to 45, and then it brought me down into town here. It was about an 18-hour drive. I didn't really allow myself much time for sleep.
You did all this yourself, Barney?
Yes, sir. I borrowed the squad car.
Okay, well, that's great. We're all thrilled to have you on the show here today.
Well, thank you.
Let's get into the News Minute, though. I want to talk about what happened with Penn State this past weekend. Have you been following that story?
Tragedy.
With the sexual assault indictment of assistant coach Jerry Sandusky and the firing of Penn State president Graham Spaner and longtime football head coach Joe Paterno.
Well, you know, it's something, to say about our society here, in the sense that those first couple of days, once that story broke the headlines, was that all anybody could talk about was the winning history of Joseph Paterno, and that was the great loss, that was the great travesty. But as soon as his can got out of there, people woke up. People started understanding what the true travesty was, that a boy was molested.
Several boys. There's several accounts. There's something of over 40 counts of sexual assault.
40 counts?
Already 8 boys have come. Just today, a 9th boy has come forward, and they've set up a hotline for people to call.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's really... And it's an interesting point that you bring up, that until Joe Paterno, and even after he's gotten fired, because if you turn on ESPN, you turn on CNN, the scrolling marquee across the bottom, and the breaking news is that the president and the coach have been fired. And then later on, you might read about how these poor boys have been molested.
Molested, that's right. That's the word I use. And that's not a pretty word. We don't get that much of Mayberry, and so it's a shock for us to hear that all across America, really.
And what's really sad is that Jerry Sandusky, after he retired in 1999, set up a fundraiser, a foundation for troubled kids called Second Mile, where kids could be helped back on their feet. And he used the boys who were molested were boys that he found in that program, and he would take them into the Penn State Stadium, which for some reason he still had access to, despite not being an employee there anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
And several people saw him, walked in on him doing these acts with children, and it made it up to the top. It made it up to Joe Paterno. It made it up to Graham Spaner, the president, and somehow they quieted it.
Well, so they blew the whistle, but they blew it silently, and when nothing was done... None of those men stepped forward on their own.
Well, the problem was that the people who were the whistleblowers were the people on the bottom, the people that just wanted to fit in, with the people at the top. And so if they tell their superiors and their superiors don't do anything about it, who knows what they're thinking? Maybe they're thinking that it's not that big of a deal because my superiors didn't think anything of it. Maybe they don't want to lose their jobs. One of them was a janitor, so this was his livelihood. Not that what they did was right, what was wrong. We have to look at this from a few different perspectives. What would you do if you saw that? Everyone says, of course, I will go report it. But if this is a job you have where you're looking to support your family, what do you do? What are you going to do?
Well, I tell you, I mean, I think about it, if it was my own boy, I would have slapped the cuffs on him and put him in the slammer overnight, and then I would have gone to the higher powers. I would have went to the state, I would have went to Washington, D.C., and I said, there's a monster locked up in Mayberry. Of course, that would never happen in Mayberry, but you understand the point that I'm trying to make. Now, Now, who was it that found that found him? Who were the witnesses? How did this come out?
Well, it's come out because some boys have come forward.
Well, good for them.
Of course, which can be a dreadful thing to have to do. So that's why, you know, you don't blame these boys for not wanting to come forward. What happened to them is already so terrible enough, and then to make it public and let everyone else know. Now, to answer your question, it's actually Mike McQueary. This is one of the witnesses, rather, who is the Penn State receivers coach currently, but back in 2002, when the incident occurred, he was a 28-year-old grad assistant, and he apparently walked in on Jerry Sandusky raping a young boy in a locker room of the stadium and immediately turned around and left and went and told his father what he had seen. Now, why didn't he just stop it right then? Why didn't he run forward and scream, "What are you doing? You need to stop it," and run to the police right then? That's what people are asking right now.
That's called personal greed, Hunter. It's an easy answer for me. He was only concerned with his position and where he was going at Penn State. All right? Now, the right thing would have been to do was to sacrifice your personal goals at the moment.
For the better of a young boy.
For the better of a young boy, because now what's he supposed to do? God bless him for finding the courage at this age to come forward. I mean, my goodness. How many kids are out there who had something like this happen to them and they're scarred for life and they never find the voice to come forward like this?
And who can blame them when they have parents, when they have people? These boys probably knew that other people knew about it and they didn't do anything about it. So these boys are too scared to go forward because the people that they feel like they should tell are the people that already know and don't care.
A time when capital punishment's okay by me, if you ask me.
I've read that Jerry Sandusky could look at life in jail for the charges faced on him.
Good, and you know what happens to child molester put in the slammer. I mean, nobody, even the ones that are already in there, nobody likes that.
I've read here that Jerry Sandusky, the preliminary hearing for the start of this case is to start on December 7th. It was supposed to be this Wednesday, but was recently postponed, and he's released on a bail of $100,000, which somehow he got the money to pay, but is out on the streets right now.
Well, he's got the money because all they care about are their pocketbooks. Of course, if you're doing that long, and you've kept it a secret that long, and all you've been doing is worrying about your pocketbooks, of course you got that kind of money. And big money talks, let me tell you, folks.
And I also want to talk about how this Saturday's game, which I believe is against Nebraska. Now, they wanted to cancel the entire season, but they're going to keep going, and they're going to let Tom Bradley, who is the defensive coordinator, will take over as the interim coach in the meantime, following Joe Paterno's firing. So, Barney, what do you think about, them letting the season go on? Should they have canceled the season? The story isn't really about football, but we kind of have to visit that because of the implications of the story.
Well, I think they should have canceled the season. I really do. And not for any problem with those boys. I feel terrible for all the boys on the team, just the players, and how they had nothing to do with this, and they got dragged into it just by mere proximity. But I think they should have canceled it just because of the hysteria surrounding it. I mean, there's rioting going on, not because of anger for what happened to the boys, because of anger that they fired their beloved coach. I mean, excuse me, but this coach being fired is insignificant. Insignificant next to what happened to those young 10-year-old boys.
Don't you feel like canceling the season is going to make this problem that's at Penn State become the problem? Because think about it, college football is a very intricate system, the bowl system, how teams move up. Now, if Penn State cancels the rest of their season, then this problem that we're trying to almost not move past but just move forward with it, I feel like canceling the season only stops that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It would create a wave that would be create unnecessary confusion. But I do think that they should cancel this game this weekend.
It's just too close.
They should
too close.
Take an L, forfeit the game. You know, consider it a minor sacrifice in comparison to what's going on. I mean, there's people flipping cars.
What about all the boys who have worked hard to get on this team? That's not really fair to them because their superiors didn't do the right thing. These boys have been dreaming about playing at Penn State for their entire lives, and now they have to sit out a game, they have to sit out a season because their superiors didn't do the right thing.
They have to sit with the team, and the team is being led by Joe. Well, was being led by Joe Paterno, under the name of Penn State. And so as a true member of a team, you need to be willing to follow your team, even if it is into a loss, a given loss. They all need to just bite the bullet and sit this one out. Of course, it's not their fault, but they have a greater responsibility to their team and to the name of Penn State.
When you say you have the responsibility towards something, that implies that you are responsible for what happened. I feel like postponing any kind of game will only perpetuate the problem that's already there.
It's like a soldier who complains and refuses to serve his country because he doesn't agree with why we're at war. That's not his job. His job is to serve the president. And their president's been fired.
This is true. Let's talk about specifically what's going to happen at this Saturday's game. We've seen riots all week. We've seen cars getting flipped. We've seen an angry body of students who are obviously angry that their coach got fired.
Well, you heard about that gang of hate mongers that's going to be coming around.
You're no doubt referring to Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church.
That's correct. They're going to be there holding up their signs.
The owners of the atrocious URL, GodHatesFags.com.
Yes. For some reason, they feel compelled. They feel compelled to make a statement. If you ask me, I think they're just trying to jump in on other people's limelight. Well, see, I'm just real curious to see how this is all going to turn out. You got a football game, and not only do you have the fervor of competition in the air, but you have the anger, the absolute just fury over Joseph Paterno's premature firing. And then all of a sudden, they're going to have this thing coming out of left field with the Westboro Baptist Church. I wonder what's going to happen, especially when there's drinking involved. Tailgating! The real tragedy is going to be for those seniors that have been in the program for 4 years.
Who have been dreaming about playing at Penn State for the great Joe Paterno their entire lives. And here, on the eve of their last home game, they find out, you know, the true colors of their hero.
That's correct. Which, you know, I mean, like, all the more reason to step back and look at the big picture and look at who really is losing in this situation. I mean, these football players, they work hard, but they've had the privilege to have what they've had, and you know, they just need to appreciate what they've been given and step back, I think, at least for a game. That would be poignant. There would be worth and value, and there would be a great memory with their last home game of honorably stepping down and stepping back.
We'll leave it on that today, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank Barney Fife from the Andy Griffith Show for coming in today and sharing his thoughts on what's happening with the allegations at Penn State. Barney, thanks again.
Well, that is my pleasure.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Fiction Reports. I'm just going to jump right into our movie review. Today in studio, we have Mr. Kermit the Frog of Muppets fame to let us know how Paranormal Activity 3 is. Frog, let's hear it.
Kermit the Frog here, and we will be reviewing Paranormal Activity 3, the latest installment in the reality horror film series. Being a glass-half-full kind of guy, I'm grateful for the little things about Paranormal Activity 3. The makers of this creepy cash cow resisted the impulse to call this prequel threequel. Something awkward like Paranormal Activity, The Awakening. They've kept it simple, and at a lean running time of 81 minutes, even better, they didn't try to overload it by making it Paranormal Activity 3D. Instead, they kick it old school by moving most of the action to 1988 to flesh out an evolving backstory about the poltergeist antics of the first two movies, which take place about 15 to 20 years later. They can't go much further back in time, even with a big hint dropped of a 1930s start of the spooking, because home video gear didn't really become available for most homes until the 1980s. and they haven't left much wiggle room for sequels. But seeing how well they've done so far, it wouldn't surprise me if they worked out a prequel using only prehistoric cave drawings.
Thank you, Mr. Kermit the Frog. How's the lady?
Oh, she's doing swell. Miss Piggy is, she's taking a mud bath right now.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again, Mr. Kermit the Frog, for coming on our show today. Yes, thank you for joining us again. My name is Hunter, and I appreciate you joining us tonight for Fiction Reports. And tonight with me, we have Fat Tony. Fat Tony, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. How are you doing? What's your name there, Hunter? How you doing, Hunter?
Hunter's doing just fine. And Fat Tony, I just want to take a moment and wind in the studio. I want to, talk about some current events that are going on. But first off, Fat Tony, what's happening personally in your life, Fat Tony?
In my life?
How's the family?
Family's good. Family's real good. Little Tony's doing all right. Big Tony's doing great. Medium Tony, you know, he's getting there. I mean, what are you going to do? He's medium.
Fat Tony, what family are you from?
From the Fat Tony family. That's all you need to know. Don't ask me any more questions about that.
The Fat Tony family, no more questions in general, or?
The family. Don't worry about the family. I'll tell you what, my mistress, I think, is diddling some other fucking cock. And I don't like it, this fucking guy. With his, he's like 20 years younger than me? What, you gonna just go hang out with some other cat? Because, he's better looking?
I mean, Fat Tony, these kind of things happen. I mean, are you going to... What's your plan? Are you going to find out who this guy is? You know, get to the bottom of this?
Yeah, I'm probably going to, get a rock hammer and bust out his kneecaps.
That seems pretty standard. You know, let him know what's going on, you know?
It's a standard situation. SOP, I think, is what they call it in the military.
Yes, thank you, Fat Tony. And so since you have this, this man who's fucking your wife.
My mistress. My wife would never, ever cheat on me, and I'm offended that you would even suggest it.
I thought we were talking about your wife this entire time, Fat Tony.
How dare you suggest my wife would cheat on me? I was talking about my whore-ass mistress.
Fat Tony, Fiction Reports like to apologize. That's a whole.
Yes, he's a whole. All
right. Okay, well, let's just move on then, straight into the political corner of the night, and I'd like to discuss the GOP party, what's happening right then, and we see some allegations against Mr. Herman Cain, and we wonder if the allegations tonight are brought against him to help or hurt his party, because there's two schools of thought, in the sense that the allegations brought against his party will hurt his nomination and hurt his public image, or the sense that it'll almost help his personal image because it will cause more people to see what's going on and with this presidential image. Now, Fat Tony, give me your opinion on what's going on.
Well, I guess as far as Herman Cain is concerned, you know, I mean, what political front runner or runner of any kind hasn't been involved in some kind of sexual misconduct? So, is it really going to hurt him? I don't know. Is it going to provide publicity? Probably. Is he going to win? Probably not.
Now, Fat Tony, if you were to take a step back from the newspaper, from the public allegations that are going on, do you feel like you're a Democratic vote? A Republican vote? Or who are you going for, Fat Tony? Let's talk about that.
Who am I going to vote for? That's none of your fucking business.
What group are you identifying yourself with?
You're asking too many questions. I don't think you need to know that. All I'm saying is what I said, and that's all there is to it about that. You know, what's the old saying? Any publicity is good publicity. Those fuck those people up there with their words.
Yes, and this is Fat Tony with us. Well, Fat Tony, give us an opinion on what you think about Obama running in 12.
Hey, I say go for it. You know, he inherited a less than pristine economy. You know, we're not totally in the toilet. I think he's doing okay. I say he's got a good chance. Hell, I might even vote for him, huh?
Well, yes, Fat Tony, but further than that, what he's already done, what is he going to do for the next 4 years? Are you convinced, or are you sort of settling for a vote when you vote for Obama?
Maybe I'm settling. I don't know. I think this country in general is, you know, tired of the old war hawks and the countless amount of cash being spent on, as far as we can tell, as American people, pointless wars. But who knows? They're all in bed together. That's my opinion.
Fuck my wife? No, Fat Tony. I have definitely not fucked your wife. I don't even know who your wife is, to be honest.
Don't know who it is.
No, I really don't know who it is. It's not even one of those.
You should go die. I hope you go die somewhere with your questions.
Now, Fat Tony, let's talk about fantasy football, okay? What's going on with the Green Bay Packers?
I'll tell you what, I think if they get more over the top and increase the spread and work on the defense, maybe they wouldn't lose so many games. But that's just the Packers.
Do you have a lot invested in fantasy football?
Nothing at all. No, sir.
Nothing at all. Surely something.
No, nothing. I'd rather piss blood than be involved with fantasy football. Thank you very much.
And that's Fat Tony. Let's thank him again for coming on to tonight's show. Fat Tony, give us one more line for tonight.
Never trust a mistress with someone half your age.
Thank you again for Fat Tony for coming on the show. This is Hunter reporting from Fiction Reports. And go fuck yourself.
Fiction Reports would like to thank the following sponsors for helping support the show. Shady Mike over on Manor in Springdale, selling the best goddamn weed you can buy in Northern Austin. And Chris's Liquor over on 51st and Cameron, selling to anyone regardless of age. And finally, your local chapter of Committee to Kill Kittens, looking for volunteers Saturday morning to drive around and run cats over. Thank you for listening, and the program will return shortly. Yes, and welcome back to Fiction Reports. We're going to jump right into the book corner, and today in the studio with me I have Carmen Miranda, commonly known as the Chiquita Banana Lady. Señorita Miranda, how are you, ma'am?
Hola, Hunter, muy bien. I'm so excited to be here at your new show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having us on the show, and I believe you're going to talk to us about a couple of books you've been reading. Go ahead.
So yesterday, I was here and I was in the house and I was looking to see what was on television. I got sucked into this new network. Se llama OWN. O-W-N. Have you heard of it?
I don't believe I have. Do tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Oprah Winfrey Network. Oh, yes. Hey, she got her new show now. Well, the show's over, but she got her new network. And I was sucked into it big time. Bueno, anyway, she was talking about this book that she had. She had a book club. I had never heard about such a thing as a book club. All my time growing up in Brazil, I had never heard of such a thing as a book club. Bueno. Well, I started looking into it, and there was a book, and it was called A New Earth. Se llama New Earth. Anyway, I was looking at A New Earth, and it was all about the ego, and I psychoanalyzed myself big time.
And how far along in the book are you? Have you finished it or just started? You said you just got it yesterday, so you probably just started.
Well, I just started, but I'm telling you, I've had a lot of personal problems lately, and I started reading it big time. And so I got into like 50 pages for me. That's a big deal, you know, 50 pages.
Well, tell us a little more about the book, like who writes it, and what kind of genre is within, and why should people want to read this book?
Well, it's very interesting. And what you will find out, well, especially it's good if you're coming out and you're trying to figure out the reasons why you do things, especially in relationships. And what I found out is that basically, apparently, you know, whenever every time you hurt, every time you want something from someone, it's really just because you love yourself. And so I found out that I really don't give a shit about anyone but myself.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. So would you recommend this book for people who don't really give a shit about everybody else?
Well, I think that, see, I didn't know that I didn't give a shit about anyone until I started reading the book. And then I found out that really I was just being a selfish asshole. So I think that I got really depressed after that. So I kind of don't think that maybe people shouldn't read it, you know?
So people shouldn't read this book, is that right?
No, don't read it, you know, don't read it. Because you'll just get depressed like I was. And then you'll have to call someone and then you'll just be in bed. And it's just awful, so don't.
Well, maybe you'll get invited onto a radio show to talk about it.
That is a good point. That is a very good point. And, you know, I mean, in Brazil, you know, growing up in Brazil, you don't get a lot of radio shows. And so maybe, you know, I mean, it's a big deal for me. So maybe I don't regret reading it.
So Miranda, tell us about any other books you've been reading lately.
I will tell you, Hunter, with the economy, it's so bad right now. I downloaded a book and it was on sale. It was called 101, 101 Ways to Make Money.
And have any of those worked out for you so far? Have you tried any of these endeavors yet?
Well, I forget the word in the title. I forget the word. 101, weird, como los americanos dicen, weird ways to make money. And the weird, I look at the book thinking, hey, these are new things that people haven't tried yet. But the thing is, they're so weird that I don't want to do them either. One was like maggot farming. And the other one was green deaths. I mean, how do you make make deaths green? I don't.
What are these green deaths for our listeners?
I guess it means like, are you Americans now? You're very into this thing that you call it green. And it means, I guess it means like, environmentally friendly, I guess. And I mean, I run around with bananas on my head all day. I don't know how much more environmentally friendly you want than that. But I guess you can't even die in a way that is not environmental anymore. So instead of, you know, going to the undertaker and having all the chemicals put in you, you do it more, I guess, more natural, you know. And I hadn't even thought of such a thing. But I don't like dealing with dead bodies. I like live things. I like fruit. I like live apples. I like live bananas. I like live oranges. And really everything that's alive that is a fruit, I like, you know. I don't like dead things.
Let's take it back to the maggot farming for a second. Can you delve a little bit into the money to be made in maggot farming for our listeners?
Apparently, I guess, you know, some people, they have pets, you know, and these pets, like the weird pets, they eat moscas, you know, moscas. How do you say? Flies. They're flies.
Yes, go on.
So the weird pets, they eat the flies, and a lot of times people don't have the flies on hand, so they have to buy the flies. So because somebody is buying the flies, somebody needs to be making the flies. You know, they need to be purchasing the flies from somewhere. And it's overlooked because, you know, who wants to be making flies? And that is why one of these things that was in the book was maggot farming. So the maggot, quiere decir larva. Larva, ¿cómo? Larva, I guess the Americanos dicen larva. Bueno, so the larva is the baby mosquito. And no, not mosquito, I'm sorry, I misspoke, fly. And the larva becomes a fly, and then you sell the fly. So the profession, se dice maggot farmer.
So the maggot farmer is there to make the flies to sell to pets that eat flies as their prey.
Well, you sell it to the owner of the pets, because the chameleon's not going to come in and buy the fly, but you know, the chameleon owner will, you know.
This, of course, that was a good catch from the Chiquita Banana Lady here in the studio. And you said it was 101 ways to make money, ma'am?
Yes, 101.
And honestly, all the ways you've seen so far, are any of them worthwhile to your time? Do you feel the book is worthwhile for our listeners, or any of the methods, you know, worthwhile for your time? I know you're a busy lady. Lots of bananas to be carried around.
You know, I just cannot imagine doing half the things in this book with the outfit that I wear, you know, very, very constricting. You know, what if the maggots, they start being attracted to the fruit that may be rotting on my head, you know, because I carry it around for as long as, like, I'm a very economical woman too, as I'm saying, I'm looking for another job. So I can only keep the fruit on my head so long before it starts rotting. I don't want to keep the freshest fruit because it costs money. So what would I do? Could you imagine me there trying to make trying to make the maggots with the, and then if they, you know, the flies, then they start being attracted to the fruit. It's a conflict of interest, I guess you could say.
Well, let's take it away from the maggots. Were there any other methods of making money that you would be interested in? Something more practical?
Yes, you know, let me think. Something more practical for somebody like me. You know, there was some writing on the internet that I think I could be get behind because, you know, I have a, they say a niche. If you have a niche to fill, you can have niche writing services. And so if somebody asks you, you know, I could have like a Ask the Chiquita Banana Lady blog, you see. And then people, they like send in information. They send in questions about maybe pursuing such things as dancing with fruit on your head, how you do that. You know, I'm an expert at these things, and I can answer these questions quite competently. And I'm considering that.
And so is this just a random career choice you're considering or something that was in the book, ma'am?
It was in the book. It was in the book about specialty writing services, I guess is what they say.
So you could have your own Chiquita Banana blog.
I'm considering it, yes.
Well, that sounds great. Let's again thank Chiquita Banana Lady for coming into the studio. Ma'am, señorita, thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Hunter. Everybody
tries to... Yes, thank you for joining us for this week's installment of Fiction Reports, where we lay down the facts and the characters decide. Join us next week for a new cast of characters, ideas, opinions, and really just a bunch of bullshit. I'm Hunter, your host, and I'll see you next week.